And welcome to our show, Geeks Wired Podcast, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Alex.
Hi, guys.
And Anna.
Yes, I'm here, too.
And the Wild Jordan.
A while? Or
wild.
A wild?
A Wild Jordan, because, you know, it's been a while, so you must be a wild one.
I am. I'm... Hello.
A feral Jordan.
A feral Jordan.
I'm very feral.
How many Pokeballs do I have to throw at you to catch you?
About 7.
Uh-huh. So just throw them hard?
Yeah. I'd say a soft 7, a hard 4.
I know the about the whole send multiple Pokeballs after a Pokemon. Does that mean you're just capturing chunks of the Pokemon at a time and just like devouring its body with each ball? Or does it mean it's like a nesting doll situation?
I like to think that it's a devouring scenario.
I don't know. I figure it's like a baseball. If I throw enough things at you hard enough,
then the
last one will be, go catch the knocked out Pokemon. It's not going to escape out of this ball.
Never played Pokemon Go.
You need a phone. Google is coming out. Or no, is it Google? Somebody's coming out with Samsung. There's supposed information. They're going to a flip smartphone.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So we're going to see how that goes and if that's actually true. But you have to get away from these flip phones.
No, I don't.
They don't play, you know, I know your phone plays Snake and
No, it doesn't even
Gang.
Do that.
It doesn't even play Snake well?
No.
Nope. You have to pay for it.
Yeah, that's right. No, Bill, I was reading I think it was a Guardian article about how all these applications that are prominent on smartphones and everything like that, they're deliberately designed, obviously deliberately designed to be addictive, and they are. They sneak inside your mind and take over. They're hacking your mind. They're making you their little slave.
I have needed this because, you know, like having, you know, your meetings or your classes or, you know, things that are going on. You're young. You're given a planner.
Youngish.
That too. And you were given a planner by your parents. So I'm going to go young. Younger. Given a planner by your parents and you start filling it out. You're like, oh, I know when my school schedule is or in college. You start knowing when that is and everything's all cool and all that and you're getting it down. And then you realize this one class that you have for 4 months, you need to put into 4 months worth of stuff and your hand starts to hurt and you really stop caring or you forget to update it and you're checking your schedule is just, you know, the thing to say while you try to tell somebody that you really don't want to hang out. No, I really sucked at that.
This bleak dystopian that you're describing. No, I want nothing to do with all this.
No, but that's the old way.
That's not the old way. I never checked my schedule.
You never told somebody I need to check my schedule?
No, I don't have to. That would be me doing the data scenario where I close my eyes and kind of go through my memory of what's in store.
I liked the ability to monitor, you know, like what's going on, all that. And it just, I don't know, it fell apart really fast, which meant it was very distraught and it was annoying and I hated it, but I wanted it. And that's what I like about the phone is I say, hey, I have this class or this meeting and it repeats for eternity and I don't need to, I just put it in once, say it repeats for eternity and the phone takes care of it for me.
I feel that this is actually a continuation of the same conversation we had the last time I was here about how much you're letting technology tell you what to do.
No, but I told technology to tell me what to do and when to be there and how to get there.
Yeah.
Which means betterment of my life. I can spend my time thinking about more important things. If Albert Einstein can decide that tying the shoes is a waste of his time, I can decide that remembering meetings is a waste of mine.
Didn't need to tell technology to tell him that, though.
Oh, he probably would have loved it, though. Come on, when his students have to hunt him down to teach the class to them, obviously he needed this.
I feel like he would.
He probably just was like, "Oh man, I totally forgot because I'm so smart," and he wasn't just like trying to flake out and not go.
Well, his idea was that
If you're already a tenured professor, you just get away with like, oh, I'm so smart, I forgot to show off.
Taking advantage of his quirky genius.
Yeah. Well, his idea was that he had more important things to think about. And
see, and he could even say that. I'm sorry. I know we were supposed to meet up. I had more important things to think about. I'm a genius.
Yeah.
Bill, is that from your military background, though, that you're more structured and neat?
No, that's always been that old thing. It that wanted to be there, and it helps. Yeah, that probably did do a lot, too.
Because that makes sense, but I can see Jordan's side of it, too, because, like, when I go to school, I don't really write everything down that I need to do, and I just know that, you know, at this point, at this time, I need to be here, or I need to get this done by a couple days from now.
Well, okay, I can see that. And that I didn't really put in as much. But I went to school full-time. I worked full-time, which meant minutes mattered. And going, you know, jumping back and forth from work, driving, you know, 3 miles to work and back 3 miles to school, having my phone tell me, you need to leave by this time to end up at your location by this time, was extremely worth it. And I didn't, you know, I could be working on something, fixing computers, doing something else, just getting involved in it, because, you know, you're just doing something and you totally lose track of time because you're working on something. And then my phone goes off and says, hey, you gotta get going to class. I'm like, oh yeah, sweet, I'm off. I don't need to think about it. I don't need to remember to keep on. I don't need to waste my time to keep looking at the clock.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Are you expecting a rebuttal?
No, I was just like, that is my point.
Hey guys, I just had a reminder go off and tell me I need to go check to make sure my window's not open. I think it just started raining. I'll be back.
Ah, okay.
See, I guess we know whose side Alex is on.
Reminder. That is why it's good. That's why I also enjoy the smart home.
My windows were not open.
Oh, good. That is good.
False.
Oh, no. Well, if he had a smarter car, he could have either been told his windows were down and he needs to go roll them up, if he had sensors, like door sensors, or if he had a smarter, even smarter car, he could just say, hey, roll up the windows because it's raining.
It was my house, but, I mean, same diff. Like, if my window, if my house windows were smart, they would close.
Exactly.
There's this really great, I guess you could maybe call it Internet of Things project, but I don't even know if the device was Internet connected, where a guy had this big, huge plate glass window at the front of his apartment, and he's tired of people, but it's like on a ground floor, and it's next to a busy street, and every time somebody walked by, they'd just look in his place just because there's like movement in there, and they'd catch their eye, or they'd be like, oh, hey, it's a shop. No, it's some guy's house. And he didn't want to just leave his curtains closed all the time, so he like put up this one little tiny curtain that was on like a string, and there's a pulley system he set up, and then a webcam with facial recognition software, so it would move the tiny curtain in front of their face and like follow them as they walk past the window, so he could just keep the window open, but then to have this little tiny dorky lace curtain that's like at head level follow them around.
I want to engineer some Back to the Future scenario that allows me to do basically nothing and let technology do the work for me.
See, that's why you need the smarter phone.
Without having to require Jeff Bezos to intervene in my life. I don't want to have Amazon doing everything for me.
Hey, Amazon is great. You know what they're doing?
Taking over the world.
They're helping Puerto Rico. They're helping U.S. citizens. Because, yes, they are U.S. citizens.
They're also customers.
Yes. So. Because the U.S. owns that country.
Yeah, it's a territory.
Yeah. Because the U.S. says, because we won't get into it. We'll just go ahead. Facebook is good. Tesla's good. They're all helping out.
Yeah.
Google is good. I think Google's also trying to get, like, wireless. Like, they're doing the balloon thing in Puerto Rico. Floating the balloons to get Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Because like 75% of the country is without power. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot, actually.
Is it down to 75%?
Without.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That's last I heard.
It used to be like 90%.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Difficult times.
I know that video you're talking about, Alex. I can't find it.
I just found it. I'm going to stick it in the show notes. It's too good to not watch if you haven't watched it. I forgot just how dorky the curtain looks. It's like it's so much sheer, and there's lace at the bottom, and it's just way too small for the window.
And when people like see it closed, they're like they stop and they're like, what? And they kind of move along with the window, and you know, they're like, what? No, why can't I look around you? I want to see what's on the other side. Yep. We'll show it to you guys afterwards, I guess. But it will be in the show notes for our listeners. So you can click on the link. Yes. All right. Well, I guess we'll move along. Smart. I don't think we have any other smart things. I guess we could talk about Google and Apple's, or Windows Developer Day event. There's some smart devices. Google's keynote. Google released the information about their Pixel 2. It's on pre-order. And they agree with Apple. The headphone jack is worthless.
Oh, I remember reading about that. That's kind of a bummer.
Well, their idea is they want to get... They have actually been looking at this. So they're not just following it. Because the headphone jack takes up a lot of empty space. Without it, Google has been working on getting the screen to go the full front of your phone. From edge to edge.
I mean, is anyone really asking for that? That they want like a phone that there's no like bezel on it at all?
I don't know. It looks kind of cool.
Well, I don't know if it even really looks that cool. Because if everybody's phone has like absolutely no bezel on the face, how do you tell them apart?
I guess. Well, and this head, because I like having the bezel on mine, because my case that I have on it goes over the edge. So if I was to drop it face down, unless I'm dropping it on a rock directly, it kind of, you know, that edge, that bezel edge kind of saves it.
Yeah, that's kind of a nice feature, just having like a little bit of a built-in bumper on it.
Yeah. That little ledge.
That's kind of where I guess I can understand them, because I mean, there's, if you really want a jack in your phone, there's somebody in the market that'll serve you. So I guess if an Android phone does it, it's not that big of a deal. I guess it's more of a bigger deal if Apple does it, because if you want an iPhone, you have to not have like regular headphones anymore.
Yeah. Well, and you can still use your regular headphones. You know, there's the adapter into the USB-C plug,
right,
just like
it's an adapter
Apple has. You know, there's tons of Bluetooth. I have like two headphones that actually are wired in, and one that can be either or, and two that are only Bluetooth.
Discriminating against poor people, though.
Yeah. What? Come on, my Bluetooth. Okay, how cheap does your Bluetooth headphone have to be?
$2.
I could probably find you one. They're just as good as the terrible wired ones too, because the $2 wired headphone is terrible.
What's worth, the two phones that have done away with having the headphone port are ridiculously expensive. So I mean, they already discriminate against poor people before they got rid of the jack.
Yeah, but then it just creates a larger baseline, because you might be rich enough to just be able to purchase that phone, but then you're like, I can't listen to anything because I don't have that extra, $15?
It depends on what you want. Do you want earbuds? Do you want headphones? If you're going to buy headphones and they're wired, they're not $15. If you're buying $15 headphones, they're probably of lower quality. But that means earbuds will work. You can get better for that price. You can get better quality earbuds. Or the ones that Anna is wearing, they are the either or. They're Bluetooth or wired. I can plug in a wire or not. They're $20.
Okay.
They're not terrible. They're actually really, really good. They're not the big name brand.
The one thing that kind of gets my goat with anytime they drop a port like this is people always buy a lot of accessories. They buy into like accessories for like any kind of platform. Like for instance, there used to be all those iPod docks that had like the standard power mini pin wide connectors, and they're just like overnight, like Apple's like, nope, can't use those anymore, and all those devices kind of became useless, except they had like usually an auxiliary port you could plug headphones into, and just by using like a male cable, And now you can't use those anymore either, which is kind of a bummer. Which, I mean, the headphone thing I could sort of, I mean, I always use Bluetooth headphones, but the thing that gets my goat is there's no way to physically connect audio to something that's ostensibly an audio player. Actually, you know what? I take that back. The new version of Apple Music's terrible, so it's not even really an audio player anymore.
It's not even worth it. What's the other stuff? Okay, they also, if you end up buying the Pixel, yeah, they were giving, that's the other thing. There's so many things, depending on what you do, you could end up getting the Google Home, the last year's model, the big one, for free.
Like, I shake my head, yes, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you know what the Amazon Echo is? The Dot or something like that?
I've heard of Amazon Echo.
Okay, the Amazon Echo and Google Home and are there is the assistant that's set in your house. They are the speaker systems that set in your house. They are the same thing. It's on the Google that's on your phone. Mm-hmm. It is an assistant. The Cortana for Microsoft or Windows 10? These are assistants.
Okay.
What it is, they built a speaker system, a mini speaker. Well, mini Amazon's is like 3 feet tall. No, it's not that big, but it's a small cylinder on Amazon's. But Google has a smaller version, and it has the Google Assistant on it.
Okay.
It's $150 starting. But if you got a Pixel, you got it for free. If you got a subscription to the New York Times for $16 for 1 month, you got it for free. Then you canceled your subscription. Mm. I'm still waiting on my code because they screwed that up. But I'm supposed to be getting my new code. I've been asking about it. Because $16 for a $150 device,
purportedly
totally worth it. Oh, no. They've already written back going like, sorry, we realize that's an issue. We're getting you a new code. So they've actually answered me.
Okay.
So I'm expecting a new code. It's kind of like the Echo Dot. I got that on, I think, I don't know when I got that, but by signing up to Amazon for a business account, $50 item for free.
Hmm.
And I was like, the assistant, and they're nice. They work well with the home items and all that. Or setting timers. I mean, the Echo is an amazing, I'm in the kitchen. I'm like, hey, set a timer for 5 minutes or whatever. I'm around the corner. There's a wall between. There's music playing. TV's on. Whole nine yards. I set off the smoke alarms, and the thing heard me. And it does. It's not the Dot is not a great speaker, so it's like, okay, I got you a timer for 5 minutes. Like, what? Did okay, timer. What?
does your digital assistant sound like that, or is that you? Like your internal dialogue?
It sounds like that. It feels like it sounds like that.
I love
that
a personal assistant that's just like, okay.
All right, we'll
Marvin
do this. I
turn
guess.
Right on 15th Avenue, left on Alberta.
Yeah,
Marvin is my personal assistant.
I would get that.
Yes,
it's just it's like apathetic and just incredibly drunk.
Yes. What else? Google also released officially the Google. Dot mini home mini looks like a fabric bar of soap. I think
okay.
It is their challenge
fabric
to the Amazon Echo Dot. It looks like a bar of soap that has fabric on it all over it. I know, it's just this little I don't know. I was
just hoping for a fabric-y bar of soap.
There you go.
Just totally soap but fabric.
It has lights, you know. But it's $50 like the Amazon Echo, so it's their challenge, their competition. And in related news of water is wet and the sky is blue, somebody looked into the Google Home Mini stuff and found out that the Google Home Mini is always listening to you and recording recording all the time. Just like with every assistant, every smartphone, and everything else, guess what? And the NSA, they're always listening to you. They always know what you say.
At what point would a bar of soap become fabric if you tried to move?
I found a picture of it, and that's well, it's like it kind of. Yeah. I mean, it looks like almost like a foundation applicator, or like it's kind of this like maybe a spongy round thing with four dots across the top. Like it actually kind of looks cool if it wasn't slightly creepy and useless to me. But
I guess it's more round than. bar soap.
I saw
one of the taller Google Homes about the time they were coming out, and one of her friend's house, and I noticed they had a similar looking device on their countertop. Like, oh, you got what digital system is that? They're like, what? And we went back and forth for a while. They weren't understanding like what the technology has described. I'm like, no, this thing. Like, what do you say to make it work? And they're like, it's an air freshener. Every 5 minutes, it lets out a puff of steam. It doesn't have Pandora. It just makes things smell nice.
Okay, I'll admit the Home does look like an air freshener, and that's the thing about the Home and like the not minis of all these, is they have good speakers, so you know at least you can listen to stuff better. They're not so quiet or apathetic about telling me they set a timer.
Yeah, they usually sound pretty great. I thought for a while about until I got my clip speakers fixed. I was going to go for one of the Amazon Echoes and just use it for a Bluetooth speaker for my computer. I didn't end up doing it because I got my clips just fixed. But yeah, I was really close to pulling the trigger on that.
You know, Bill, I will kind of join your bandwagon of technology. As soon as they develop that actively hostile but subservient AI that is very resentful of you but obeys you
anyways.
I bet
you could. There's a group of people that made one called, I think it's called Joey. I bet you could ask them to do that for you.
I like that.
They've been working on it, the voice, making sure the voice side works really, really well. And now they're they've been working on it for like years. Now they're wanting to tie it to hardware and release it out. But there's a lot of stuff you could do with it. So I bet you could tell it to Marvin it up. I wonder if there's a Marvin.
I'll bet if you dropped like pretty much any Hitchhiker's Guide reference on it, it'd probably pick it up.
Well, it seems like it's the more practical version of the AI anyways, because they're dominated by you. You shouldn't exhibit enthusiasm at the prospect.
You watch South Park?
I haven't seen South Park for like 5 years.
The first episode of the season, Cartman was in, you know, had all of his Amazon Echoes and his Google's Homes and stuff, and he was like, they all listen to me and they do what I say.
I watched that episode. It was really funny. Yeah.
I had to mute my Echo.
He was trying to make a list of different things, but like it was not appropriate.
All right. What's the other fun stuff? And now with Microsoft, they had their developer day. You could, they're working on getting their 3D system working together. They are talking about their fall releases, and apparently they're opening up more cores and RAM and video card access on the Xboxes. Like they're going from the 4 to 6 cores available, 4 gigs of RAM or 5 gigs of RAM to 6 gigs of RAM, and they're opening up the entire video card, so it's actually doubling the availability of it.
Can someone explain why they don't just have it open from the beginning?
Because you can run into problems like the 360, which overheated.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, if you open it up too much, it's like overclocking your computer sometimes. It can start producing more heat. So do these devices, can they take it? And also now they're all out of warranty, so if they all die, great. It makes it so you can also upgrade.
Wait, when you say open it up, sometimes, they're not changing them. Like, it's not like they're doing like a firmware update to increase clock speed or something. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're increasing the clock speed. They're making more cores available and more RAM available. So for the gamers that are making, they can utilize more of this.
Right, but when they...
And I think some of it was also background stuff for Microsoft or for Sony or Nintendo or the OS itself. Mm-hmm. They could have full access and they could do the stuff, but the gamers couldn't.
You're saying that one of the major reasons they don't initially make the full capacity of the hardware available.
Sometimes they never make it available. The PlayStation 3 was released and only a quarter of it was available. Really? Or no, the PlayStation 4 was released and the PlayStation 3 only a quarter of it was available when PlayStation 4 came out. PlayStation 3 had more upgradability on it with firmware updates.
Huh.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know much about this issue.
But PlayStation 3 was still a powerful machine. It was the, it is actually still the best Blu-ray player because of the hard drive with it, because of all this, all the extra components. Well, I shouldn't say that because the PlayStation 4 and Xbox have gotten, they're comparable. But for Blu-ray players, like a standard Blu-ray player, they're okay because you need better storage because you're constantly downloading stuff to upgrade. Blu-rays, when they come out, there's usually little things here and there they need to access the internet and download, make it work better.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it plays Heavy Rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it does that. Have you, you've played Heavy Rain?
It's on my to-do list. I was hoping I'd see a copy pop up at the Retro Gaming Expo. I was going to see if I could find it, if I could grab it while I was there.
You definitely should. It's a really fun game. I think it's Quantic Dream's best.
I was going to grab that and see if I could get the Metal Gear HD collection. I was going to try to go through and play.
Yeah, that's also really... Yeah. Good luck. It's
it takes like 100. It takes like a few hundred hours, I imagine, to get through them all.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's just, what is it, the Metal Gear Solid, what's the first game chronologically? So
it's kind of weird, they've got like two editions, there's like an HD collection, and there's like a some other, like, better collection out there, but like the better collection only has like two extra games, and it's like they're both games that I have, I forgot which ones it is, but I looked at the two, I'm like, oh, this one's $10 cheaper on Amazon, and it has all the games that I don't have in my collection right now. But it's got like the it's got Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2 for the MSX, which are kind of in the middle of the timeline. And it's got Metal Gear Solid 1, which is kind of in the middle too. It's got Metal Gear Solid 2, which is toward the end of the timeline. It has Metal Gear Solid 3, which is the very beginning of the timeline. Metal Gear Solid 4, which is the very end of the timeline. And then it's also got the PSP games, which are kind of between the early and the middle part.
Yeah, Bill pulled up the chronological list, and yeah, I tried to do it that way too. I started with Snake Eater, then went with, well, I didn't do Portable Ops, but then I went with Peace Walker, Ground Zeroes, The Phantom Pain, and yeah, then I stopped at Metal Gear because by then it was like 120 130 hours, like, which is too bad because 2 and 4 together, they comprise almost no time.
Yeah, they're like 20 hours. 30 total hours for both of them. If I mean, if you're really yeah, quick at playing, hours, yeah, about really 20 hours. But you should go back and try Phantom Portable Ops if you have a chance. It's actually really fun. Like it's super. It's kind of goofy, and they took a lot of the mechanics. Like they start on the mechanics that I really liked in MGS5. They start on those, like the collecting allies and stuff. That was like the game that I think had the strongest representation of that, but it didn't have like the resource farming stuff that you had to do. It was more like you had to like set up research trees and recruit people to help you. And that was really fun. Like you were like inclined to like try to capture people. It also did away with like this huge inventory system. Like you could only hold like two things, which is, I thought, I kind of liked that. I didn't like the huge sprawling like Legend of Zelda style inventory.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I have to hesitate when I think of replaying that series because, yeah, I don't know. Phantom Pain, the story and the twist at the end, damaged how much I like Metal Gear, actually. I'm used to their stupid plot twists, but that just seems to diminish a lot in my mind.
I was going to say, that game had a plot twist. First of all, I was going to say that game had a plot, and I was like, oh yeah, it had a little bit of one. And then I'm like, it had a plot twist. I'm like, oh yeah, it had that dumb one.
Yeah, I did not like that plot twist at all.
Didn't you like that? I guess we're kind of out of spoiler territory, but didn't you like that that part? Like, I guess like the opening part of that plot twist where you found out you weren't Big Boss and like you redid the hospital.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know.
I thought that was a cool way of doing that, like where it's like, oh man, that the dude with the bandages is Big Boss all along. I'm a fraud.
Well, I kind of felt like that anyways because he had Kiefer Sutherland's voice, and so
I didn't even notice that is the same as Kiefer Sutherland doing the Bandage Man. I had no idea.
Yeah, and so that was my initial impression when I played that is like, why is that guy speaking with the Big Boss's voice? And so it was a little disorienting for me initially, but yeah, replaying it, it was even more disorienting because I was replaying it from the perspective of, I don't like where this is going. Gameplay-wise, it is really good. That is, it was well done, suspenseful sort of thing, and is well implemented. But just the grating nature of what that plot meant or that twist meant made me want to. I think I was halfway playing the game and halfway like screaming and bashing my head against the wall, going, "Don't do this, Kojima."
Did you ever play the Twin Snakes on the GameCube? Okay, yeah. Did you like it? Because I thought that was like the most ridiculous of the Metal Gears, like in terms of just dumb stuff happening.
It was totally ridiculous. But I don't know. The only ridiculous plot twist that really annoyed me was the one in Phantom Pain. Everything else, I was like, nanomachines, okay. But yeah, enjoy your playthrough, Alex. I will be curious to see how you manage.
I'll see if I can pull it off. I'm going to be at the expo in about a week and a half, so I'm hoping I can get a copy.
So speaking of games, Alex, you're talking about you played some
good
Cuphead.
Segue. I played the hot new game Cuphead. Anyone else on the podcast play Cuphead?
I've seen it played.
I've never heard of it.
Oh. Okay, well, I'll keep it short.
What were we talking about last week?
Was it?
Yeah, wasn't that last week?
I've mentioned it a few times on the podcast. It's been development like 5 years, but it's
been getting some good reviews.
It's kind of like a Contra, but like has a visual style of a 1920s cartoon, and it's pretty hard. It's about like Contra hard, but it's all but also like Contra. You can play co-op, and that does make it easier. But you fight just like goofy things like a psychic carrot and like a flower that can like shoot seed missiles at you and that sort of thing. And it's really goofy and cute, but it's really well done. Like, it's super fun, and there aren't, like, boring stages. Like, it's pretty much just mostly boss fights, and then there's, like, occasionally stages just to break it up a little bit. But, yeah, it's totally fun. If you got a Xbox One, PS4, or Steam, you should give it a shot.
Now I remember seeing it, now that Bill's pulled it back up. But, yeah, it looks really cute.
I like the old 1920s, 40s style of, you know, layout, or I guess the 1940s style cartoons.
Yeah, they really did their homework on that. Like, the whole game, they never break from that, like, at any point. Like, even if you go up to, like, a shopkeep to buy some stuff, it's, switches over to this, like, pseudo first-person view, where you talk to, like, the shopkeep, and, yeah, they, like, they're fully animated, and they move, and they talk to you, and it's really cool. Like, at no point did the at no point when you're playing it are you ever like, this definitely looks like a computer game. It, like, the whole way through, it just looks like a cartoon that is for some reason interactive.
Nice. But you enjoyed it then? And
yeah, I'm going to try to go back and try to play some more with my brother next Tuesday. If we get any farther, we started hitting the difficulty curve really hard. And apparently it keeps punishing, like, the later you get. Yeah, a bunch of people complain the final boss fights. Like difficult, not like a Dark Souls difficult way, but just in a difficult, you kind of have to have dumb luck to win kind of way. So we're hoping that we don't have that experience, but we're kind of prepared for the worst with that one.
This is a really pretty game. It's nice that when I played South Park Stick of Truth, that was the first time where I felt really comfortable with what the technological capacity to give us the sense that we're actually playing like a show we're watching. Mm-hmm. That's when it truly struck. And yeah, Cuphead does seem to continue, and that will never be outdated. That is it in its perfect form. So I do like games like
that. If you want to never look outdated, just look very outdated and very particularly from an era, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, I have nothing further to add to that. I've had 4 hours sleep, guys.
Yeah, that happens when you're in school and work and all that. Well, then we will move on to adorable 3D platformer, A Hat in Time.
So, yeah, next game on the Indie Watch, there's this new game from, I think it's called Gears for Breakfast. I'll see if I look it up. I want to get the studio name right. Anyway, Hat in Time is kind of like a Banjo-Kazooie or I guess like Mario Sunshine.
Yes, you're right. Gears for Breakfast.
Yeah, Gears for Breakfast. And they just released this this new 3D platformer that you're just a kid running around with a magical hat. So I guess it's kind of timely that it came out like just slightly before Mario Odyssey, because that's another 3D action game that involves a hat. But as far as I know, the hat isn't like a specific weapon. Like the kid just like runs around on stuff and like fights monsters and goes through just like spooky environments. It is incredibly cute. You should at least try to watch the trailer of it to see what it looks like. But yeah, all the reviews have said it's just got fantastic level design, super fun. It's got the same like this nostalgic appeal of Banjo-Kazooie. So yeah, give it a go.
Yeah, I might. Is it available for PS4?
I think it's available for PS4. It's PC, Xbox. Let me see if it's for PS4. I'm pretty sure it's on the PS4. I'll verify.
Yeah. Next, I'm trying. Yeah, I'm on their website, and it was a Kickstarter game.
Oh, it mentions Psychonauts. There's a underappreciated game. I love Psychonauts.
Oh,
maybe it isn't for the PS4. Oh, that's disappointing. Maybe it's just a PC. Oh. Xbox. Yeah, I think it might only be for the PC. Oh, that's sad.
That is sad. I don't understand why people tried to conform to the master race.
It was a Kickstarter game, and that's why when I was talking about with Microsoft earlier about their developer day, they were very much on, hey, make games, because they even like opened it all up, all that stuff for free. Like, it is easy to make games for it. So that might be why a lot of places aren't releasing games for all these. Come on, Nintendo just barely, not too long ago, opened up again for the Switch.
Well, if you close for the platforms, you're denying a significant demographic. That's a large.
I can actually kind of weigh on this as a somewhat of an expert. sometimes it's I know that Sony and Microsoft are kind of permissive with giving out dev kits, but sometimes you like even if you can get the dev kit, there's like an approval process for getting in like any given store. Like it's not like Steam where at this point you literally spend $100 and you're in their store. Especially with like Nintendo, the approval process to just get a dev kit is brutal, if not like unknowable. And the process of actually getting a game on the Nintendo eShop is like basically that again. I know the Hat in Time devs actually said they want to be on the Switch, but they can't even get a dev kit from Nintendo.
Okay. Well, that answers a lot.
That's at Microsoft.
Like, it's kind of weird because like all the every vendor's like, oh yeah, our platform is super easy to develop for. Get in contact with our indie developer team, and they'll get you set up. And a lot of the times they can't. It's just a bureaucratic issue. Like they just never get like callbacks, or it's an issue of like they can't meet like the even things like physical security requirements for having a dev kit in your office. So yeah, it's not always the developers making a decision. It's oftentimes just like the actual platform not letting them on.
Well, that's not completely depressing, because then I can see pending a successful reception of the game that the consoles would be more open to giving permission for dev kits and making it more accessible, because they could foresee success on their console with that game.
Oftentimes, you're right, as time goes on, it does get a little bit easier, like especially if it's a sure bet.
It happened with Undertale.
What's that?
Undertale
is an example. Undertale, like that's definitely a game that probably wouldn't have normally come out on the PS4 because it's made in RPG Maker, but where the game just had like absurdly great success, they got some help from Sony.
Yeah, so hoping for the best, because that does look like a fun game. I'm not part of the master race.
And they did get the, they did get kickstarted, so. Just working on it.
So yeah, got a PC, give Gears for Breakfast, a Hat in Time a try.
Or a Mac. It is on Mac, too. That's it.
And, yeah, if you can't do either, watch the trailer and wish you could.
Hey, maybe they'll release it on phones. You know, it'd be easy to just push it out on Android and iOS.
Oh, man, this is giving me serious nostalgia. I need to bust out my old Xbox 360 and download Banjo-Kazooie.
That's cool that they did re-release Banjo-Kazooie on the 360.
Actually, I think they had that. Yeah, they made that reverse compatible, too, because I think I have that on the Xbox One.
Yeah.
That was, I think, one of the free giveaways. Or because when you have Xbox Gold.
Yeah. It's also been a really, really long time since I played Banjo-Tooie. No, actually, it's Banjo-Kazooie that it's been a while. And because Banjo-Tooie, that was the sequel, right? Yeah.
I forgot that it was even on the 360, and I was kind of sweating how I could actually play it again, so I ended up bringing my last Invisible Pokétail. I brought the 64 and Banjo-Kazooie and Tooie back to Vancouver. So I'm going to be able to play it, but it's on a little bit older hardware. And it's going to look a little more crappy.
Meh.
Have they released on Xbox One?
Yeah, like I said, they re-released it. They made it backwards compatible.
Okay.
It might, I don't know if they made it crisper, but...
When you said Xbox One, for some reason, in my sleep-deprived mind, I was thinking the original Xbox, the first
Xbox. I still
Xbox.
Do that. Microsoft. No joke, I still seriously do that sometimes.
Hey, if Apple can release the iPad One as their third iPad, why can't Microsoft release the Xbox One as their third Xbox?
That's what Xbox should have done. It probably would have seemed like everyone would have accused Xbox of copying Sony, but they should have done Xbox, Xbox 2, Xbox 3.
But they went up front, honestly. Sony's the only one that counts it. Nobody else has. Nintendo hasn't. Sega didn't.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that with those who do not agree with
Sony. Just kept going after the 360 and done 720 and keep going.
Oh, there was the jokes of that. 720 or full circle or 380. Yeah, there's all sorts of fun jokes.
They could have thrown people by saying Xbox 361. Like, it's just start your numbering at 360.
Yep. Or make it 365.
Just go with the Greek alphabet. Just go Xbox Alpha, Xbox Beta. Is it Gamma next?
Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta, Eta, Theta.
Yeah, that's
you got 20 some odd characters to go through.
Yeah, I never...
It's not as many as the English alphabet.
100 years from now, when the Xbox Omega comes out, Microsoft just... They just burn the plant down. They can't go any farther.
There's we're out.
They can't go with Alpha Alpha.
Hey, they could do Alpha.
But no, they chose their road, and it is a road I do not agree with.
Meh.
It's confusing. Fourth generation Xbox One. Anyway.
All right. I haven't talked about comic books a lot lately. And I have picked up a comic book recently that I am extremely excited about.
Oh.
Yes.
Is it a Superman comic?
No, but there is a Superman added in it. It totally threw me off for a moment. I was about for Snickers. I was like, what? Oh, no, that's an ad. Turn page. It is Batman the White Knight. And I have the comic here.
That Mr. Bruce Wayne.
So this is an alternate universe storyline, kind of like Injustice and all that, where they actually give Joker an origin story and a name. They name the Joker. Which is not common, they don't do in the main storylines. Joker's origins is very, Deadpool's kind of vague, and he usually lies when he says who he is. But in this one, they call Joker is Jack Napier. And Joker becomes cured of his insanity, and Batman just kind of went over the deep end a little bit, kind of pushed things a little too far that it actually, the GCPD actually had to end up arresting him.
No.
And Joker is the White Knight who will save Gotham.
So Batman went full Rorschach.
But he's like pretty much. I mean, they, and it's a really, really good. I was excited about it when I kind of heard about just what I explained, and reading it, there's more to it, the story, than that. But reading it, I was like, this is awesome. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed how they ended up doing it that way, how they made Joker sane, how they, you know, how they went and showed that Batman can push things too far sometimes. There was
sometimes
sometimes not all the time, but sometimes there was it felt like there was a little bit, a few nods, kind of like the Killing Joke, almost the some of the almost his origin kind of, or using that origin a little bit, using, you know, talking about where he came from. He actually talks about where he was before Gotham, the Joker does. So it's kind of interesting hearing about or reading about that, that they are giving Joker this type of, you know, an actual origin for this story.
How do you feel about the prospect of having a Joker origin movie?
You mean the one that's coming out?
That is
live
proposed
action?
To
yeah, well, there
out.
Was the, there was a Joker origin movie. It's called The Killing Joke. It had, last half was the comic book. The first half was, we need something longer than a half an hour. And depending on your point of view, it depends on how much you hated the first half. But at least you have the last half, in my opinion. I really enjoyed the last half. The first half, so-so. I, you know.
I was amused by what people objected to about the first half. Like, Batman wouldn't do that with, was it Batgirl?
Yeah, with Barbara Gordon.
Yeah.
In Batman Beyond, Commissioner Barbara Gordon says, well, I was in a relationship with him.
Yeah.
And they actually go, they identify that type of stuff. She did have a love interest. Yes, she is easily half his age.
I wish they had truly thrown a curveball and had a Gordon-Barbara relationship where Gordon's like, come here, Barbara. Come to your daddy.
Well, you forget. Her mom's name is Barbara. She's named after her mom.
There you go. It's like, so you remind me so much of my wife.
With the change of Batman White Knight, like, how are the supporting characters, like, throughout that? Because, like, you have Commissioner Gordon.
You have Gordon. You have Batgirl. You have Nightwing. You have Bullock.
So how does that world just kind of, like, change up and, like, adjust to having Batman as kind of the
as
villain?
Extra. Well, they, okay, this is definitely, this issue, the first issue is definitely a builder. Because they kind of, like, run you into what I explained, and then they go 1 year ago. And they jump back and they explain why this event is the, why it's laid out the way it is. And it, I feel like it, you know, with the, like I said, the nods to the Killing Joke, the nods to, you know, the idea of like Joker and Batman are two sides of the same coin. They one can't exist without the other. You know, they're in the, you know, they're kind of in this like idea of a relationship, kind of like how Batman Lego even made fun of it, like you are the same, but you complement each other. They kind of take that and they really push extreme. Like, you know, in the Batman, even with Batman, I could see like this push, and it's not that hard to take this. You know, like I believed it. Like, yes, Batman could push a little harder, and he could change into the bad guy. He's not.
Well,
you know,
he is a bad guy.
He's a vigilante. Yes, yeah, technically,
he totally is. Like, so I mean, in a comic book universe, he's a good guy. In our world, he would be a bad guy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an adjustment of the point of view when it comes down to the new series that you're reading, right?
Yeah. It's Batman pushes things a little, you know, kind of like in Batman v Superman. Any of the Batman versus Supermans. Superman's this super nice guy. He sees things that should be shiny and don't hurt people. Batman's like, sometimes you have to be rough. And even in, like, not even the movie Batman v Superman, but, like, in the animated series or in the comic books, Batman is aggressive towards Superman. And Superman is not a fan of it. And this, and he feels like he can be even more aggressive towards Superman because he is so strong. And this, him putting that aggressiveness that he put towards Superman, an immortal, basically, towards the Joker, I can... And not caring about this stuff in between, you know, like the idea of like, oh, look at all the collateral damage. Oh, yeah. No, you know, Batgirl's in the passenger seat. She's like, dude, chill out.
Is it just in the comics? Is it just buildings that are the collateral damage or are people killed?
You have to read the comics. Yeah, I'll let you read it, but I say go get it.
The first episode. The first issue, the first seven pages of it are up on DC's website, so you can get a little bump if you want, a little taste.
Let's see.
I stuck a link in the chat. And yeah, it's pretty great. You can see Batgirl looking just really upset with Batman being a jerk to the Joker.
Oh, wow. It's just with the first seven pages? Man, that is a good chunk of the plot, actually. Yeah, no, I'd say go. The link we're going to put in the show notes. Definitely go read it. And if you're listening to through YouTube, Google it, because the links don't work on YouTube when I post. Or if you're listening on Google Play, the links don't work.
I mean, why would they?
So. Yeah, I don't know. They work on iPhone. They work on RSS feeds. I don't use Google Play. I use, like, Pocket Cast. I use, you know, there's other things. Like, it works everywhere but Google.
You know, Google, the thing that doesn't, like, have a history of working with links. Why would it work on their,
yeah.
Why would it work on their platform?
Actually, I don't think it works in TuneIn Radio either. We're on TuneIn Radio. That's why we work on the Echo. On Amazon's Echo, because it's through TuneIn Radio.
Okay.
So I don't think links work there either, but Google removing headphones and making links not work. Jeez.
I feel like my moment's coming.
All right. Yes, your moment is.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Oh, I feel it. I feel the power. I feel
it. Look at that.
No way. Mm-hmm. Not Szechuan sauce. We've talked about that too much.
So Rick and Morty creators said it's not our fault.
Shame on you. Shame on you.
So Alex, don't worry about not giving me Szechuan sauce.
Well, I got like the six packets that are sent to Portland, so I'll just throw away.
Oh, okay.
Alex, you need to say, talking about Szechuan sauce makes me think of
There's so much catharsis wrapped up in Szechuan sauce. I didn't know that there's going to be like seven of the entire known universe. If I knew that there's going to be that few, maybe I would have just, like, camped out overnight and gotten it, and then just made a YouTube video of me just, like, pouring it down the toilet.
You like we were talking about?
That meant so much better.
Yeah, no, McDonald's apparently did not realize how many fans wanted
this.
No,
they know.
And they're like...
They've got to know. There's no way they didn't see, like, to, like, 20 billion people saying that I'm going to get a tent way outside McDonald's. Possibly be armed.
Yeah,
like they absolutely knew what they were doing. Like this isn't like a surprising accident. Like this is completely intentional. They're gonna make this dumb sauce the next McRib.
I like Rick and Morty, but I don't want Szechuan sauce.
Have you seen any of the new season?
Not of the new season.
That's why you don't get the Szechuan sauce. Well, it's the first episode of the new season, which you can watch on Adult Swim for free.
Is that the one that came out in February?
I think so. Yeah,
where he. Faces all the other Mortys or the other Ricks.
Where he faces the Ricks.
Yeah, I've seen that episode.
The Council of Ricks and the government.
Yeah.
The intergalactic government.
I totally saw that episode. I don't want Szechuan sauce. Yeah. I don't care. That has nothing to do with the show. Like, it's in the show, but it's unrelated to my life.
But they don't print the Rick and Morty, like, name or anything.
Oh, no. The creator said we were not behind the McDonald's thing. The Adult Swim was not behind this, and they were also saying, fans, quit being douche canoes to McDonald's workers. It's not their fault.
I just realized he used the term catharsis wrong. I meant psychosis. That's what I meant. How much psychosis wrapped in this?
Sometimes It's cathartic to be psychotic.
It would be really cathartic to pour down the toilet, though. That'd feel really good. I'd love to do that.
I would. But McDonald's came back and said, we are going to release it.
Oh, again. Really? What a surprise!
Larger amount. And not just for one day.
Alex, you should videotape it if you're actually pouring it down.
What I should do is just get like fake like mustard packets and then just make some counterfeit Szechuan sauce and then like just dump it down the toilet. And be like, oops! Actually, I think it's probably too gooey consistency to do that. Is it like a barbecue sauce type consistency? Or I guess sweet and sour sauce consistency, like kind of a syrupy?
I thought it was like sweet and sour, yeah. I was, actually, that's the thing, I don't think I had it then. I've had Szechuan sauce from like the local Mongolian barbecue, but I'm probably going to be like super disappointed. Oh, and also, you couldn't get them with nuggets. You had to buy like their chicken tenders to get them. If you were the lucky three people.
That'd be really sad if you only had like enough money. Like you knew like what kind of insanity was going to go down there. So you only brought enough cash to get like some nugs. And you get up in there and like you can't afford it.
Would that be like the Black Friday of like McDonald's, like nuggets or like strips?
Oh, there's that. They also had police escort. Like they had to call the police to have people like removed from the premise. There was chanting. There was just like some people were just not. No.
You know Bill, who doesn't like Szechuan sauce?
Luke Skywalker.
No, he doesn't.
Luke Skywalker
like...
from new Star Wars trailer.
Yeah, we're gonna suffer. We're gonna suffer for this.
You
fate
already
will
said.
Have its way.
You already said. So, since you want to talk about the Star Wars trailer, you watch it?
I did watch it. It's okay.
Did you watch the sports ball game it was tied to, or did you do like everyone else?
No,
and
I went to
YouTube.
YouTube.
Have you guys seen it?
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
I have not seen it. I know there's like a bunch of like weird animals in it. Like that's a big point.
Porgs.
Okay.
They're like the new Ewoks.
Oh. Yeah. I don't even remember that part of the trailer.
They're flying the Millennium Falcon. Chewbacca goes
and
the porg goes
I saw it today when I was still sleep deprived. So that's a continuation of my current sleep deprived state. Or this state is a continuation of that.
Just say catharsis. That's what I do if I'm looking for a $10 word.
I do have to admit, I almost did not want to watch it.
Okay.
What?
Because it comes out in December. Yes,
like,
yes, I almost did not want to watch it.
You're going to watch a Star Wars movie.
No. It's not the movie. The trailer. I almost did not watch the trailer.
It's like there's no way you're not going to watch this. They could say it's literally the Star Wars Christmas special, and you'd go watch it.
Yeah, there.
I'm not saying I haven't watched the Star Wars Christmas special, but there is an now unplayable VHS in my collection.
Well, the trailer doesn't give anything away. It's like Kylo Ren. And Rey, you have too much power. This is unprecedented. I don't know. I'm kind of scared.
They're Goku-ing it with Force.
They're totally Goku-ing it.
Oh, yeah.
So
I guess
it's
like the logical extension. I mean, they're trying to... Disney wants to like have something to, like, I guess, start phasing out superhero movies because they're not going to last forever. So they need to have like their big showy things to impress audiences.
With the Jedi gods. It's pretty interesting. In the original trilogy, it was basically like you had the Sith who could spray lightning bolts out of his finger, but other than that, you have like pretty much subdued, I can do mind tricks.
You had some guys that were getting some stuff, basically. Like there wasn't like they weren't like that insanely powerful.
Yeah, and then you had the prequel trilogy in there. They're doing their fast runs and pretty much everything. They're the Greek gods.
Okay, now the Porg origin is interesting. Also, let me explain this. So, on the island they recorded on, there's these birds that are native to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, hey, this is kind of interesting. What if we have a creature that is native to this island that Luke is on? And that's where the Porg's origin came from.
But after Disney killed every last one of those birds, they're like, well, this is how we're going to pay back. We're going to make a new animal that's not a bird. And then it's going to be in the movie. No harm, no foul.
That's right. This stuff happens. They'll live in the memory of film.
Yes. I know. I like them. They're cute. Some people are already on the hate of them. Some people are on the liking. I'm on the liking crowd.
The only thing I'd be afraid of is, like, Star Wars fans have been burned severely on, like, just cute creatures. Like, to the point, like, it's caused bad things to end up on film. So I could see what someone, like, just is very quick to judge something like that. But, I mean, it's also not like the Star Wars universe hasn't had, like, quick cash-ins for, like, appealing toys for kids. So it's...
I have no clue what Jar Jar Binks you're talking about.
These are not the cash-in opportunities you're looking for.
You know what doesn't have cute creatures in it?
Did you see the Force Awakens, the new BB-8? Chucky, go ahead.
I can't avoid it, Bill. All right. So, everyone, Blade Runner. 2049, Bill.
I typed it in wrong.
Clear disinterest.
Look at this.
Not 44.
Not 44.
30 years later.
It's 49.
Yes.
Okay. And this will not.
You didn't even officially change
it. Wow. I don't know.
This antagonism against a wonderful movie
and
is depressing.
This will have no director's cut, no extension, no after credit scenes.
Doesn't need it.
Well, that's what he was talking is that he, because the first one was made with, he didn't have a lot of power and there was a lot of control, so that's why there were so many versions that came out until the last one, saying is the
final cut.
One that was, they wanted it to be, which is what this one is based off of.
Yep, and it's a direct continuation. In fact, AMC had the final cut play preceding the night preceding the opening of Blade Runner 2049.
Ooh.
So, and it is really nice to see Blade Runner, the original, in theaters, especially as on the big screen. But, this movie is an amazing movie and is my favorite movie of the year.
Wow.
And so, that's pretty impressive because I love Dunkirk and Planet of the Apes a great deal. And, this exceeded those. And there's so much to say about it. It is visually a stunning picture. Like, there's not a moment that isn't just incredibly beautiful to look at. And it is, the images are striking, and I find them very powerful. It's like a 160-minute painting. But also, the story is amazing. It's the detective noir. And it's done really well, and the characters are fantastic. Ryan Gosling's character and his character arc is an incredible experience, and it's amazing because there's so much going on in this movie that they're able to focus on just an amazing change in this one man and the exploration of him. And so Blade Runner, it's a huge flop at the box office. It's going to lose a lot of money, and that's tragic.
Oh, yeah, I was hearing about it. The opening weekend was not very good.
No, it made...
They're like $10 million short from what they were expecting.
Yeah, and they weren't expecting much. They needed basically what it is getting, and it deserves it because it's a good movie, but it's not a great movie. It's a non-disappointing horror movie. This is a great movie. And
no, Blade Runner, you got it just fine. If you're going to use it as the name, you have to make sure to define, not say it for Blade Runner. So it is a good horror movie, but Blade Runner is an amazing theatrical.
Well, I'm using it in the non-genre sense because there are amazing horror movies.
Well,
like The Exorcist great
just
horror.
When you're explaining for the listeners, because when you're explaining, like, I enjoyed it.
Oh,
you're talking about Blade Runner. You can't say.
Stephen King's It.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stephen King's It. That probably makes it a lot easier to follow.
I enjoyed Stephen King's It, but yeah, it had several deficiencies. And so even though it was a mostly well-done movie, it wasn't very intelligent. And there,
for Stephen King's It.
Yeah, for yes. Stephen King's It.
Now back to Blade Runner.
Which was intelligent.
Okay.
And a very satisfying experience, which explored a lot of issues in a very interesting way. In fact, one of the major plot points is actually something that I don't believe has been done in a sci-fi movie before. It explored an aspect of AI that I thought put a nice twist on things. And Harrison Ford, who is usually poison to movies the last 20 years, is good in this. And there's nothing to criticize about this movie. Some people will get bored, and that's unfortunate. I think they'd be the people who would find like Solaris, the Russian version, boring. And maybe 2001 as well. So
I cannot make it through 2001. Uh-oh. It's like the first half of Alien. I love Alien. Aliens, I think, is better because there's more going on. The first half of Alien, I can't watch. It's too dry. It's too slow. It's too non-talky.
Yeah. So that may be problematic because there's a lot of stillness in this movie.
But is it stillness like was it DiCaprio's bear movie?
The Revenant.
Yeah.
Because
that had a lot of very, very pretty and stillness, and I enjoyed it.
It's possible. It's hard to, because of course this is inherently subjective. Mm-hmm. But I found the stillness to be analogous to a less, because 2001: A Space Odyssey was stillness to the maximum. It is extremely sparse in the dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you can't hear anybody scream in space.
Yeah, and that's one of the I really enjoyed 2001, but this is way less of that kind of movie, but it still, in a sense, is that movie because a lot of the meditative qualities from 2001 are transported to this, although it is more flashy, has more action, although it is relatively minimalistic in its action compared to a lot of the summer blockbusters that we've encountered. Like, it's not Wonder Woman where there's five scenes of dialogue and then it's like, we need our CG action sequence. And so this is an extremely meditative film that has extremely nuanced characters and has a lot going for it, even though they go for a simplistic aesthetic. But it is an amazing film, and it's Denis Villeneuve's follow-up to Arrival, and that it's just an incredible sci-fi movie. And so I think that he's an extremely talented... I hope he can do Dune. Like, I'm worried about the effects that the failure of this movie at the box office will have for interesting sci-fi that's non-standard.
I'm surprised because this seems like one of the movies that people have been wanting for so long. Kind of like, I was expecting like Episode 7 numbers, actually.
I think internet people, this is...
So you're saying everyone's just pirating it?
Well, I mean, there can be enthusiasm on the internet that doesn't translate to enthusiasm in the box office. So something can be vocally popular on the internet, but is just a smaller demographic.
That's why you need the movie pass, because you said it worked.
I'm totally, as soon as it comes to me in the mail, I'm going to watch that movie like three more times.
A day. You get one day.
I might do
that. And it works in the Big D. It just does not work at IMAX theaters. It does not work in 3D.
Yeah. And I feel like this movie deserves my money as much as possible because it's tragic. In fact, it's too bad. It has a smaller female audience too. I think it is 70% males. And I wonder if that must be marketing because it seemed like...
But the other one was too.
Blade Runner?
Yeah, was it more male?
I don't know what the demographics for that movie are, but I know the demographics for this movie, according to, I think it was Deadline that I read it, it was 70% male, 30% female. And
what about the replicant demographic?
the replicant demographic. I think they're
without spoils.
They're the 1-2% time travelers.
Ah.
Elon Musk, I think he attended. So
if you didn't watch Blade Runner,
you could understand it, but it would lose its impact because it is directly built off. It follows everything from the first movie, the story, the themes.
But do they explain things well enough that you might miss a few of the key nods and stuff, but would you really miss much of the plot?
No, you could totally understand the second movie on its own, but I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, why deny yourself the pleasure of a fully arced duology? If you're in it for the story and the ideas, you start from the beginning. Why not? I mean, are you so time-pressed that you can't watch a two-hour...
Some people are against
in your
the,
life?
No, some people are against the 80s sci-fi-ness that the original was.
The 80s sci-fi-ness. Well, I think that if you dislike the original, it's probably...
Probably not going to like this one.
Well, it's possible you'll like this one, but I think they are just so interconnected that I think it's probably a good indication of how you'll view this one. And so, yeah, if you didn't like the first one, I don't know how you would feel about this one. It's probably not as well.
It's not your cup of tea?
Possibly.
Okay.
Which is tragic because, yeah, I looked at worldwide box office earnings and Beauty and the Beast and Fast and the Furious, they're top two, and this one is going to bomb. And that's a very depressing thing. Beauty and the Beast was not a good movie.
What?
The cartoon was a great movie. The live-action adaptation
wasn't exactly the same movie.
It was longer. It amplified, and when amplified, it made less, and it didn't have the charm of the cartoon.
I enjoyed it. You're blasphemous.
It's not blasphemous.
Blasphemy! How dare you blaspheme against Disney?
I like Beauty and the Beast, the live-action. It was good.
I enjoyed them both on their own merits.
Yeah.
Like Jungle Book. Enjoyed them both on their own merits.
I actually found Jungle Book to be okay. I like Pete's Dragon, actually.
I'm trying to think if I saw it. I don't think I saw the new one.
The cartoon.
There is no cartoon.
Pete's Dragon?
No. It's a live action with a cartoon dragon.
Oh, right, yeah. I remember it from as a kid when
because
I saw
it's a cartoon dragon.
I don't know. That's weird. I kept thinking of it as a child. I haven't seen it since I was a child.
Did you see the new one?
Yeah, I saw that too. All
right. So it's a CGI dragon with a real world.
Yeah, the CG one is, yeah. But,
All right.
I guess I'm a movie snob, but I don't hate populist movies because they're populist. I tend to dislike them because I just don't like the movies that draw lots of people.
Hey, they're coming out with a new Transformers movie, and Michael Bay is not directing it. I'm going to go watch that.
It's going to be awful, guys.
No Michael Bay. No Michael Bay.
It doesn't matter. Teenage Mutant Turtles had no Michael Bay.
No, it did. Yes, it did.
He was a producer.
He was a producer.
He didn't actually direct it. It was South African.
Okay, he still had some say.
Yeah,
They saw the Michael Bay advertisement and... Some stuff,
I don't think that counts. Black Sails, which is a terrific Showtime or Starz show, is produced by Michael Bay, and I don't think he has any input. Then once he said, "All right, guys,
here's the money.
I'll tell the studio, tell them to give you a shot," and that's that.
Okay.
So producer, it can mean something.
It depends on
really
it depends. I guess on some of
really involved
certain producers. Okay. Well, then, probably should wrap things up.
Yeah, thanks, Bill, for letting me give Blade Runner the slow hand job. Or
okay, you're done. All right, famous last words. Go, Alex.
I've never watched Blade Runner.
Well, yeah, I agree with Alex. Alex, you better watch Blade Runner. Everyone, please watch Blade Runner. It's going to be a flop, but make it less of a flop. Please.
Ted and I were going to watch it this week, but we might follow it up this next week by watching it before the next podcast.
There you go. Yeah, I might spoil it next week. My famous last word shall be, give us a call for our non-calling listeners. Yeah, no, you weren't here last week. Snake River Comic Con, I met our listeners. They were the listeners that do not call. So for the listeners who do not call, feel free to call 801-896-4335 or email us at geeksarewired@gmail.com. And I don't know why I was like, dramatic pause. And we will answer your questions or tell us what all the cool news you've found. We'll talk about that.
Bill, I had my last word, but I need another. There are listeners, like real live
listeners? We have real live listeners, and wow. I have met them, and they are awesome.
Are they just saying they listened?
No, they said. Well, they said they listened. Yeah. And they also said they are the listeners who do not call, which means they also know
about that's a really weak version of that Breaking Bad line, I'm the one who knocks. I am the listener who does not call. <I know. laughs>
So feel like the listener who does call. Did you have an extra last word?
Interesting.